For the whole month of November, we have been focusing on the transition from here to there. We started out with honoring the saints. We prayed for our loved ones who have died. And then as the month progressed, we started to focus not only on individual lives or ourselves even, but on the end of all things, the end of creation, the end of time, the second coming of Jesus Christ. So that's why on Sunday we celebrated the solemnity of our Lord Jesus Christ, King of the universe, a celebration of the completion of God's plan for everything in the universe. So we've been focusing on these transitions, and today is also a transition day. This is the last day of the liturgical year. Tomorrow is the first Sunday of Advent, a new year, a new season. In fact, it starts tonight because Sundays start on Saturday evening. So we're almost to the end of this season of ordinary time, the end of this year C, and tonight we start year A again. Transition. And I mentioned also that we're starting our novena to the Immaculate Conception today. That's a beginning that will lead us into the first days of Advent as well. Well, in facing these transitions, Jesus has been instructing us about what will pass away and what will remain, and the difficult process by which those things that pass away will be removed. So he has spoken in the last few days about some very frightening and disturbing things: wars, calamities, persecution, suffering of all kind. And that can be very disturbing to us. And in today's gospel, he gives us a kind of final warning. Don't be distracted, don't be drowsy, don't slip into worldly preoccupations, or don't immerse yourself in sinful life, because if you do that, you're going to be caught off guard, and that day will catch you by surprise like a trap. So it sounds terrible, but it's actually helpful advice. He's saying, this is the way it is, this is the way it's going to be, so be prepared for it. It's not to intimidate, it's to prepare. If you have looked already at the liturgy for tomorrow and in the early days of Advent, you know that this message will continue. Be prepared. Be prepared for the coming of the Lord. Be prepared for the fulfillment of God's plan. Don't get caught off guard. Be vigilant. As I was reflecting on this, I thought again of an experience of mine from my recent pilgrimage. I hope you don't mind that I tell these stories, because this is still so fresh in my mind. But I'll do it anyway. One of the great things about our pilgrimage was our guide, a man from Cavite named Jojo. And this man, Jojo, has been doing tours for 25 years. He knows everything about Europe. He knows everything about every place, every shrine, every road, and every hotel. And he's just an excellent guide, and he's a very good communicator. So he would constantly be telling us things about what we're doing. He would say, Tomorrow, it's going to be a beautiful day. It should be around 18, 20 degrees. It's going to be clear. So be sure to have your cameras ready, because when we get to this high point, you'll be able to see the whole city and things like that. And then we're going to have mass at such and such a place, and we're going to stay at such and such a hotel. He'd give us advice about what to do. Sometimes very positive things, like it's going to be a beautiful day, you're going to have an opportunity to eat lunch at that famous restaurant, or something like that. But sometimes he said things that were not so glorious, like, oh, it's going to be raining tomorrow, high of 11 degrees, very windy, so be sure and take your jacket and your umbrella and your hat. Then he would say things like, the bus is not allowed to go into that part of the city, the streets are too narrow, so you're going to have to walk about 3 or 4 blocks uphill, and then there's some steps. So be prepared for that. Or he would say, tomorrow night we're going to stay at such and such a hotel, and the bus can't get that close to the entrance, so you're going to have to carry your things. I suggest that you pack an overnight bag and leave your big suitcase on the bus, so that you don't drag it up the hill into the hotel and up the stairs. just pack it overnight, bag it, because we're leaving at 8:30 the next morning and you won't have time to do anything with your stuff. Anyway, he would tell us advice. Okay, so you can imagine that this was helpful to us, whether we liked it or not, whether we liked the weather report or the announcement that we would have to walk 3 blocks uphill or climb up 43 stairs or whatever we would have to do. We welcomed that information. But it doesn't mean that every time he told us something, we heard it or understood it. And he knew this, so he would repeat himself a lot. Because, you know, we fall asleep on the bus, or we're talking to our seatmate, or we're distracted on our phones, or we're not always listening to the guide, we're looking out the window, whatever. So he would repeat himself a lot. If we didn't hear what he said, then we didn't know the information. If we were asleep or distracted, part of my problem was, of course, I'm not that good at Tagalog, so I don't understand everything. At one point, we passed by the birthplace of Saint Jose Maria Escriva. I didn't know where he was born. I knew he was from Spain. So I didn't hear him say that. I heard him say something about somebody being born. I picked it up, but I didn't get the detail. And it didn't even, maybe I was distracted. I was looking at my phone or something. Well, we got to this big shrine, which was established by the efforts of Saint Jose Maria, and it's a big place, and it's in the middle of nowhere. It's called the Teresiedad, the shrine of Our Lady of Teresiedad. I never heard of it before, and so I asked one of the priests. I said, "What is this? Why do you build this shrine in the middle of nowhere?" And the priest said, "Well, it's not far from where he was born. We just passed through his hometown." And I said, "I didn't know that." And he said, "Well, Jojo told us." Jojo told us. So it was my fault. I mean, not fault, but I didn't understand the announcement in Tagalog, so I missed it. Now, we can imagine if we didn't hear something or we didn't understand it, we're not really held responsible, but we still have the disadvantage of not knowing. But what if someone in the tour group said, "I don't like that message of Jojo. He says it's going to be 11 degrees and cold and windy. I want it to be 22 degrees, so I'm not going to listen to that part. I'm just going to welcome the beautiful day we have today. I'm not going to worry about what he says about tomorrow." Or what if we say, what if one of the members of the pilgrimage said, "Jojo told us we would have to walk four blocks uphill into the old town. I don't want to do that." I think that's a negative thing to put on us. He shouldn't burden us with that kind of a task. Wouldn't you say, "Well, that pilgrim is got a bad spirit. He's not listening to the guide. He's not participating fully. He's not getting the advantage of being guided or being prepared." We'd say, "Well, that pilgrim is foolish. He's not listening. He's not following. He's not prepared." Sometimes Jojo would say, "When we get to such and such a place, there are very limited toilet facilities there. It's an old place, there's only one toilet and there are 27 of us. So, you know, go when we stop at the rest area. Don't wait till we get to the church." He would say things like that. Good advice. But maybe someone would say, "Well, I don't want to. I don't want to follow that advice. I don't like to listen to bad news." Now, you can see where I'm going here. Jesus is the guide in this case. Jesus is the one who has expert knowledge about how things are going to be. He knows what's going to work well and what's going to be difficult. He knows what things are going to distract us and what things are our responsibility. And he tells us very, very straightforwardly, "Be prepared. Don't get caught up in drunkenness and anxieties and carousing. Don't get distracted shopping for souvenirs because you'll miss the bus." And if we are not listening, we don't get the advantage of Jesus' warnings. And I think this is the case of many people. They just don't hear the word. That's why it's our responsibility to keep sharing the word, to keep pondering the word, because it doesn't always sink in right away. Or if we don't understand the word, like I didn't understand his message about the birthplace of Saint Jose Maria. I didn't understand it. One of my fellow priests had to tell me what had been told by the guide. Well, this is also what happens. Sometimes we don't understand what the Lord says in the Word or what the church teaches. So we have to be willing to be taught by one another. But the worst case is if we don't like what Jesus says and therefore reject it. If we say all this negative stuff about the end of the world, all this stuff about leaving behind our precious possessions, all this talk about persecutions and sufferings, I don't like that kind of stuff. I'm not going to listen to it. Well, doesn't that make us foolish? Isn't that a foolish way of treating an expert guide? I think that's enough for us to take advantage of the guidance that we receive from Jesus and from the Word of God. It's expert guidance. It's trustworthy. And and he repeats himself. We hear it today, we'll hear it again tomorrow. We're being told, be vigilant, be prepared, don't be caught off guard, don't get caught up in the world. It's good advice. So, and we need to hear it again and again, because we do get easily distracted, we do fall asleep, meaning spiritually, we do get absorbed into things that are not really very important. And so, let's take the advantage of this expert advice, this warning, so that we will be prepared. For when the Lord enters into our life, either today in his providence or at the end of time, which could be any time, who knows, that we're prepared to welcome the glorious reign of Christ our King.